Amen. I want to preach a sermon I've entitled this morning, Half-Hearted or Wholehearted. We live in a lukewarm age where the church is generally largely lukewarm. And in the book of Revelations, in chapter 14, it says this: To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God hates lukewarmness, neither hot nor cold. And when you and I became a Christian, we should have given our whole heart to God, our whole life to God, when we became a believer. Jesus said it's all or nothing, didn't he? In Luke 14, he says, Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. We have to fully turn away from our old life to become followers of Christ and walk in that newness of life. But what the lukewarm church or the lukewarm believer wants is only partial obedience. Partly he wants to serve God, but he also wants to enjoy the world and its pleasures. He's trying to sit on the fence, so to speak, or he's half-hearted. But God doesn't want partial obedience this morning. God wants full obedience from you and me, because he's bought you and I with a heavy price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are blood-bought children. We are servants of the Most High. We belong to him. We call him Lord. But if we don't do the things he says, we're just hypocrites, aren't we? Lukewarm, double-minded, or we honour God with our mouth, but our hearts can be far from him. But what God wants is the whole heart. He's not just interested in outward obedience this morning. He wants a full commitment of the heart, because God is the God of the heart. In 1 Samuel 16 and 7 it says, The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I'm going to look this morning at a king of Judah, who you'll know, named Amaziah. And Amaziah is a great example of someone who in God's eyes, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but there's a massive but not with his whole heart. And we want to look at this morning and the consequences that it bore out in his life, and also the consequences for Judah through him not being wholehearted in his devotion to God. And he is a warning to us and an example of why we need to be wholehearted in serving God. So with that in mind, if you can turn to 2 Chronicles this morning, chapter 25. I'm going to read the whole of that chapter, and then we're also going to look at his son, who was named Uzziah, and his son Jotham in chapter 26 and 27. So in 25, starting at verse 1, 2 Chronicles 25, Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Jehoaddan. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. After the kingdom was firmly in his control, he executed the officials who had murdered his father, the king. Yet he did not put their children to death, but acted in accordance with what was written in the law, in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, "Parents shall not be put to death for their children, nor children be put to death for their parents. Each will die for their own sin." So he started off right. He was trying to follow the law of Moses. He was trying to obey the word of God. Not just executing everybody, which he could have done, to take revenge for those that had murdered his father. But he only executed the officials who had committed the murder. He didn't put their children to death in accordance with the word of God. Because God only holds people accountable for their own sin, not the sin of their parents. So he did what was right according to the word of God, it tells us. But it does say these words, but not wholeheartedly. In verse 5 it says, "Amaziah called the people of Judah together and assigned them according to their families to commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds for all Judah and Benjamin. Then he mustered those 20 years old or more and found that there were 300,000 men fit for military service, able to handle the spear and shield. He also hired 100,000 fighting men from Israel for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him and said, 'Your Majesty, these troops from Israel must not march with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the people of Ephraim. Even if you go out and fight courageously in battle, God will overthrow you before the enemy, for God has the power to help or to overthrow.'" So Amaziah is gathering together an army. He's got 300,000 men from Judah that were fit for military service, but he also hired an additional 100,000 fighting men from Israel for money. But he got a warning from God through a prophet who warned him, "Don't do this. Don't enroll these troops from Israel, because as it was at the time, the Lord was not with Israel at the time. Israel had forsaken the Lord. The kingdom was divided. And especially," he said, "not with the people of Ephraim." And he said, "Even if you go out and you fight courageously in the battle, God will overthrow you before the enemy." And what he's saying is, it doesn't matter how hard you fight or how courageous you are, the battle belongs to the Lord, and God will not allow you to win if you take these people on. Because God, he says, has the power to either help or to overthrow. And we need to learn this, don't we, in our lives? We often think doing things our way and not God's way, that we're still able to have the success and achieve what we want. But God has the power to help or to overthrow. And our plans, no matter how clever they are, if they're not right before God, God can overthrow them. He can disrupt our plans, can't he, when we ignore the warnings that he gives us. Amaziah asked the man of God in verse 9, "But what about the 100 talents that I paid for these Israelite troops?" The man of God replied, "The Lord can give you much more than that." So Amaziah dismissed the troops who had come to him from Ephraim, and he sent them home. They were furious with Judah and left for home in a great rage, it says. We see a little bit here that Amaziah's heart is a bit divided. He says he was thinking about his pocket, wasn't he? He said in verse 9, he asked the man of God, "But what about the money I've paid for these Israelite troops?" He was thinking about the money he was losing. And the man of God said to him, "The Lord can give you much more than that." In other words, Amaziah, if you trust God, even though it's cost you the 100 talents, God's going to repay you far more if you obey him and put your trust in him. Thankfully, Amaziah did what the man of God said, did what was right. He listened to the man of God. He dismissed the troops, it says, who had come from Ephraim, and he sent them home. And they were furious. And they left home, it says, in a great rage. They weren't happy to hear this. These troops wanted to fight. They weren't happy that they'd been dismissed. But the reason why God had warned Amaziah was that God was not with Israel at that time. And if you do this compromise, he's not going to be with you. And you'll end up being overthrown. No matter how courageous, no matter how skilled you are in battle, God will overthrow it. And that's a lesson for us all. If we act on our own wisdom, or we do things that might seem logical according to the flesh, and yet it's not in the will of God, we can't expect God to honour it. God can actually hinder us in what we want to do, if he wants to. So Amaziah, I think, grudgingly did what was right. He dismissed the troops who had come to him from Ephraim. He sent them home. They were furious, and they left home in a great rage. They left for home in a great rage. Amaziah, in verse 11, it says, Amaziah then marshalled his strength and led his army to the Valley of Salt, where he killed 10,000 men of Seir. The army of Judah also captured 10,000 men alive, took them to the top of a cliff, and threw them down so they were all dashed to pieces. Not a pleasant way to die. Verse 13, meanwhile, the troops that Amaziah had sent back and had not allowed to take part in the war raided towns belonging to Judah, from Samaria to Beth Horon. They killed 3,000 people and carried off great quantities of plunder. They'd gone off in a rage and they started raiding towns in Judah. From Samaria to Beth Horon, they killed 3,000 people and it says they took quantities of plunder. They were taking revenge for that decision. And the truth is, sometimes there's unpleasant consequences when we do what's right. Sometimes it costs us, but God can still honour us if we do what's right. And what we find with Amaziah is, although he'd listened to the man of God and he'd done what's right, you can see from his question about the money that his heart's not really so much concerned about doing what was right before God. He did it grudgingly, but he was more concerned about his own pocket. He grudgingly obeyed. It wasn't done with his whole heart, was it? But nevertheless, you know, God gave him a victory. But you know, after that victory, look how he responded. He'd seen God honour him, he'd seen God give him the victory, but he didn't appreciate it. And in fact, he turned away from God and did what was right in his own eyes. Verse 14, when Amaziah returned from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought back the gods of the people of Seir. He set them up as his own gods, bowed down to them and burned sacrifices to them. The anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent a prophet to him who said, why do you consult this people's gods, which could not save their own people from your hand? So he's turned to idolatry. And yet he's experienced God speaking to him through the prophet, because he only half-heartedly obeyed God. His heart wasn't in it. He quickly turned from worshipping God to worshipping idols. And so God sent him another prophet to warn him. And you know, God will often send us warnings because he loves us. But if we don't listen to those warnings, if we don't take heed, there will be consequences. And he says, the Lord sent a prophet to him who said, why do you consult this people's gods who could not save their own people from your hand? But Amaziah's response wasn't that of somebody who is contrite or repentant. But in verse 16 it says, while he was still speaking, the king said to him, have we appointed you an advisor to the king? Stop, why be struck down? So the prophet stopped, but said, I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel. So here's the heart of somebody who's not wholehearted, who's lukewarm. He didn't listen to godly counsel. He didn't want to hear what this prophet had to say. He would rather listen to his own thoughts and opinions. And the prophet's response was, I can see that God has determined to destroy you because you've not listened. Verse 17, after Amaziah, king of Judah, consulted his advisors, he sent this challenge to Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, come, let us face each other in battle. He wasn't even concerned about what the man of God had warned him. He carried on thinking that he was going to carry on getting all these victories. but didn't remember what the warning that God has the power to help or to overthrow, depending on how you respond to him. So he challenged Israel to a battle. Verse 18, but Jehoash, the king of Israel, replied to Amaziah, king of Judah, a thistle in Lebanon sent a message to a cedar in Lebanon. Give your daughter to my son in marriage. Then a wild beast in Lebanon came along and trampled the thistle underfoot. You say to yourself that you've defeated Edom, and now you are arrogant and proud. But stay at home. Why ask for trouble and cause your own downfall and that of Judah also? He was still getting warnings, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But he thought he was being clever. His pride got the better of him. He was arrogant, it says. And he thought he was going to carry on with this streak of victory that he'd had over the Edomites on Israel. But God had determined to destroy him because he didn't want to listen, because he wasn't wholehearted, and he was brought down by his own arrogance and pride. Verse 20, Amaziah, however, would not listen. For God so worked that he might deliver them into the hands of Jehoash because they sought the gods of Edom. There was a judgment coming. Verse 21, so Jehoash, king of Israel, attacked. He and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced each other at Beth Shemesh in Judah. Judah was routed by Israel, and every man fled to his home. Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, son of Joash, the son of Ahazi, at Beth Shemesh. Then Jehoash brought him to Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the Ephraim gate to the corner gate, a section about 400 cubits long. He took all the gold and silver and all the articles found in the temple of God that had been in the care of Obed-Edom, together with the palace treasures and the hostages, and returned to Samaria. See, God was not going to give Judah victory because Amaziah turned his back on God. He'd gone after false gods. He'd ignored the warnings that God had sent him because his heart wasn't in it, and Judah was routed. Judah was overthrown. Verse 25, Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, lived for 15 years after the death of Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. As for the other events in Amaziah's reign, from beginning to end, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? From the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they conspired against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent men after him to Lachish and killed him there. He was brought back by horse and buried with his ancestors in the city of Judah. Here we see the ultimate consequence for this man. And it says, from the time that he turned away from following the Lord, it all began to go wrong for him. There's consequences when we turn away from the Lord. And it says, from that time, from turning away from the Lord, they conspired against him. Just like the man of God warned him. Because of this, he said, God's not going to be with you. God's not going to give you the victory. He got a warning from God, but he ignored it. He ignored the warning. The prophet warned him, God has determined to destroy you because you've done this and you've not listened to my counsel. And as it said there, from the time that he turned away from following the Lord, they conspired against him. The thing is, when you're not wholeheartedly serving God and you're trying to be in the world and also serve God, if your heart is divided, let me tell you, the world will always win in your heart. Eventually, you'll turn away from serving God, as Amaziah did. And he got deceived into false religion. He turned away from following the Lord because of the love of the world, the flesh, and the devil, who will ultimately overpower you if you're not wholehearted. You know, it's a dangerous place to be, sitting on the fence and being lukewarm. In the New Testament, Paul spoke about a man named Demas. He was a fellow disciple. He'd forsaken Paul. And Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know, there's so many examples strewn throughout the scriptures of men that started off right with God, but they end up forsaking God and turning away from the truth. Look at Solomon. You know, God spoke to him so much in his early days, and yet he ended up turning to idols and marrying foreign women who brought in all kinds of false religion. Even with all the revelation from God and his wisdom that God had gifted him with, he turned away from God. Amaziah's son. In the next chapter, his name was Uzziah. He did what was right in the sight of God. From the age of 16, he became king. That's a young age to become king. And if you want to read it through the whole chapter, I'm not going to read it all now. But he did what was right in the sight of God. He sought God, it says, during the days of Zechariah. It says that Zechariah instructed him in the fear of the Lord. He was taught by a godly example. And it actually says in verse 5, and this is interesting, it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. This is the thing in the Christian life. As long as we seek the Lord, God gives us success. Now, it might not be material success or earthly success, but success in righteousness and godliness, he gives us success. Because there's a blessing in serving God. There's a protection in serving God. And as long as we walk in the fear of the Lord and seek the Lord, he'll give us that success. Verse 5, it says, speaking about Uzziah, Amaziah's son, he sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. But just like his father, eventually he turned away in later life from the Lord. He'd become a powerful king. God blessed him. He built up a big army, it says. He built cities. He went to war with the Philistines. He broke down the walls of Gath. He rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him with the Philistines and against the Arabs who lived in Gerbil, it says, against the Moonites. He built towers in Jerusalem. He built fortified towers in the wilderness. He had a well-trained army. He was blessed. And God used him to restore things in Judah. He became powerful. He honoured God and he became powerful. But in verse 16 of chapter 26, after Uzziah became powerful, the scripture tells us that his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord, his God. He entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense, something that only the priest should have done. In verse 16 it says, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord, his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in. They confronted King Uzziah and said, it is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and you will not be honoured by the Lord God. Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and banned from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land, so they hovered him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. And he says in verse 21, King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and banned from the temple of the Lord. You know, what the priest did was a brave thing, wasn't it? Because to confront a king who has the power to put you to death takes courage. But they were willing to do that in order to do what was right. And they confronted him, it says. You know, sometimes in our Christian life, we have to confront evil. Yes. And it's not always easy or pleasant or without any consequences. We see in both of these examples Amaziah and his son Uzziah are two men who both started off right. Amaziah wasn't wholehearted. Uzziah became proud and arrogant because of all the power that had been given to him. It went to his head, as it often does, unfortunately. And he thought he could do anything and that there was no consequences, that he could just ignore God's word and warnings. And Amaziah ignored the warnings of God. And his son did too. This is what happens when your heart isn't right, when you just honour God with your lips, but your heart is far from him. Because God is looking at the heart this morning. He wants wholehearted men who are fully obedient, not half-hearted, not lukewarm, not trying to serve two masters, not trying to live in the world and serve God. We live in a lukewarm age, and many Christians are just living the carnal life, you know, eating and drinking with the drunkards, beating their fellow servants, maybe dabbling with compromise in integrity or in sexual immorality or even idolatry or hypocrisy. We need to be fully committed, don't we, to the Lord our God. We need to give him our whole heart, our whole life. The book of James warns us here in the book of James, it says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. This is why the scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." See, God has called us to be single-minded this morning, to be sincere. That word sincere literally means to be without wax, to be without hypocrisy. When King David was chosen by God to be the king of Israel, Samuel thought it was going to be his older brothers who were taller, more handsome, more gifted. But God said, "No, I've refused them," because God looks at the heart, not the outward things. And David, as we know, had a heart after God's own heart. David was willing to respond to God when God spoke to him. That's the difference this morning between a sheep and a goat. Someone who's got a goat-like heart is only reluctantly serving God, only half-heartedly serving God, only serving grudgingly because they're afraid of going to hell, or they just want to play religious games and look good before men. Whereas the sheep listens to the master's voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." We need to be willing to listen to God and respond to him with our whole heart and to be humble before God, and then he'll lift us up. See, arrogance and pride have no place in the man of God's life. Before pride comes a fall, the Bible warns us, doesn't it? And it says that God resists the proud and the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, it says in that chapter we just read, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." As we humble ourselves before God, as we let God direct our mind and heart, and we're willing to be corrected, God will lift us up. You see, you can tell a man who's wholehearted because he's willing to be corrected. He fears God and he's willing to change. And the question is, we have to ask ourselves, is do we fear God? When God warns us, when God speaks to us, do we respond, "Yes, Lord"? Or do we argue with God? Do we resist God? Do we even get angry with God? When God asks us to do something that's inconvenient for us, or hurts our pride, or causes, maybe cost us 100 talents. Or when the opportunity comes our way to indulge the flesh, do we resist? Do we deny ourselves, or do we give in? You know, there's a battle going on, isn't there, this morning, between the flesh and the spirit. It's a real battle. And the flesh often doesn't want to do the will of God. But if your heart's right, you'll be willing to fight against it, to deny yourself so that you can follow Christ. That's the difference between an obedient and a disobedient heart. We're called to be single-minded. We're called to be wholehearted. What's the first commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Because God wants the whole man, not just the outward man, not just the leftovers, the whole man. In the Bible, it speaks about breaking up the fallow ground. And this is the answer for being lukewarm. If we've become lukewarm or half-hearted, here's the answer: repentance. Jesus said to the lukewarm church, "You say that you're rich, that you have need of nothing, but you don't realise that you're miserable, poor, blind and naked." The answer is to seek him and to repent. He counsels us, he says, to buy garments that are clean and to repent and to be zealous. Sometimes in our Christian life, we need that recommitment, don't we? Because we're all guilty. You know, especially in this day and age, it's easy to become half-hearted. We get worn down with the stresses of life. We become lukewarm. And that's when we're in that dangerous place. That's when temptation can come our way. That's when deception can come our way. And that's when we can be deceived by our own pride and our own lives. We can't afford to take our fate upon ourselves this morning. We need to fully rely on God, to be fully committed, fully obedient to the word of God. And if we're living in that lukewarm life, we're in a dangerous place. And we need to acknowledge it before God. Humble ourselves, as James said, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. The answers are there for us in Scripture. It's all about keeping a clean heart. It's about keeping our garments clean daily. It's about purifying our heart before God. You know, when we're double-minded, or if we become double-minded, we need to recognise that and repent. None of us are exempt from these temptations. It says in the Scriptures, doesn't it, that even Peter, the apostle, fell into hypocrisy with Barnabas. They were excluding brethren, and Paul had to rebuke him publicly for his hypocrisy. You know, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We're fighting a spiritual warfare this morning. We need to be a people of no compromise who will do what is like those, you know, do what is right in the sight of God, who went out and did what is right, even at personal cost to us. We need to be standing, if necessary, alone with God to do what is right. And let's not be like Amaziah, who did what was right in the God before God, but not with his whole heart, only half-heartedly, which ultimately led to his downfall. It led to compromise. It led to him turning away from God. And ultimately, that decision of his heart had consequences for the whole of Judah, because he was the king of Judah. It brought judgment upon Judah. And his son, likewise, when he grew powerful, when God blessed him, he grew arrogant and proud. And that's another danger for the Christian. When God blesses us, when we prosper, we can start to think it's all of us, and we become arrogant. There's some good news at the end of this, though. And it shows that you don't have to be like your parents. Uzziah's son, in chapter 7, 27, I should say, served God wholeheartedly and remained faithful throughout his life. So there is hope for us. Jotham, in verse 27, chapter 27, Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done. But unlike him, he did not enter the temple of the Lord. The people, however, continued their corrupt practices. Jotham rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord and did extensive work on the wall at the hill of Ophel. He built towns in the hill country of Judah and forts and towers in the wooded areas. Jotham waged war against the king of the Ammonites and conquered them. That year the Ammonites paid him 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat and 10,000 cores of barley. The Ammonites brought him the same amount also in the second and third years. Jotham grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord his God. the other events in Jotham's reign, including all his wars and the other things he did, are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Jotham rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David, and Ahaz, his son, succeeded him as king. But there we see it in verse 2. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done, but unlike him, he did not enter the temple of the Lord. Unlike his father, he did what was right. He was fully obedient. We don't have to be like our parents this morning or inherit their sins and faults. We can break the mould, so to speak, and let Christ be formed in us. And in verse 6 it says, Jotham grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord his God. What a testimony to this man's life. Unlike his grandfather, who wasn't wholehearted, unlike his father, who was arrogant, Jotham was fully devoted to the Lord. And he walked steadfastly, unswerving, resolute, committed. And that's the example we should aspire to, amen? Yes. To give God our whole heart, to fully submit to his word and his truth, and to be a people of a sincere heart this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.